I've been in this World Missions Revival, and who knows, you know, what the future holds for us. Maybe one of these days we'll all be together again in a meeting like this, maybe not. Well, this week, you know, Brother Billy presented me with a gift and a cup, and I thought, well, turn about fair play. Of course, this is the morning meeting, and some of you didn't get to, weren't in on that. But I got to thinking about, you know, what kind of cup would be appropriate for Bill. And as I thought about him, you know, of course, he's very reticent, very timid. Needs to be urged on, what have you. And so I got this cup here. It says, "Take charge." But you know, I didn't want to leave Brother Kincaid out. So, Brother Kincaid. Hey. Yeah. Open your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, and we're going to begin reading in verse 30. Ezekiel 33:30. I started preaching back in 1955, and I figured some time ago I got to thinking about how many times I had preached since God had called me to preach. And by the way, I start out preaching right after I was called to preach. Preached on the streets and parks. In fact, my first street meeting, I'll never forget it. I had preached one time in a pulpit, and then I was invited to a street meeting there in Corpus where I was going to university. And so I went downtown, and I didn't know, you know, how do you preach on the street? And there was two other fellows and myself, and they had already been preaching on the street. And so one of them had a guitar, so that they played a song and we sang, and then this fellow another said, "Okay." And the people going just like this. And I said, "Okay, man, what do you do, you know?" And I said, "Let's sing another song." So we sang another song, you know, and he another said, "Okay." And they're still like this. No one's looking at us. I said, "Let's sing another song," you know. But finally I stepped out, and when I did, I just really got a real taste for street preaching. And have always enjoyed it. Thank God for the privilege of preaching. But I got to think about how many times I preached since God called me to preach. And I figured about 10,000 messages since God called me to preach that I preached. What I was thinking about was this. I wonder how much good they've done. I mean, I wonder how much good those 10,000 messages have done. I was pastor in Town East, of course, for 33 years. And that was kind of the main observation point. And as I looked at the lives of people there that I pastored, some from the time they were little kids till they had little kids and they had little kids. I had to say that in the life of many of them, it didn't do a whole lot of good. It didn't do a whole lot of good. Sad to say that, but it's just a fact. In the lives of some of them, it did some good. I saw some good in some of the people's lives. I could observe that they were helped. And in some of their lives, a smaller group, it seemed to do a lot of good. I got to thinking, why, you know, what's the difference? What is the difference when you're preaching to the same people, the same preacher, same church, same songs, same everything? What's the difference between those that weren't helped at all, those that were helped a little bit, and those that were helped a great deal? What makes a difference? Well, the difference is the responding to the preaching. Amen? And how do you respond to the preaching? You know, this church, one thing that, without question, this church is known for, this is a preaching church. Amen? I mean, you just heard some preaching a while ago. I mean, if you're wondering what is preaching, you just heard some. Amen? That's real preaching. Amen? And this church is known for that this church is a preaching church. And that's great. I think it's a great testimony to be a preaching church. There's only one thing better than a preaching church, and that's a practicing church. Amen. Amen. That's a practicing church. You see, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, really. And it's not a real big deal how much good preaching you have heard. Amen. Some of them, well, I heard Billy Sunday. Well, so what? Well, I heard D.L. Moody. Well, if you are, you're older than I am. So what? Amen. I heard Billy Graham. So what? Amen. I've heard, you named, outstanding preachers. I've heard this one and that one, the other, whatever. So what? If that's all you've done is heard them. Amen. What I want to ask you this morning in this final message is this. Please, I want you to listen to me because I am preaching to you. Amen.
Amen.
What I want to ask you this morning is this. What are you doing about the preaching?
Amen.
What are you doing about the preaching? It's one thing to hear the preaching. It's another thing entirely to do something about the preaching. In Ezekiel chapter 33, we find an account of people who, there's too many people like this. And you don't find these people, I don't think, in the liberal churches, because there ain't a whole lot of preaching going on in liberal churches anyway. And what it is so weak it wouldn't help anyone. But I believe this is a picture of our kind of church. I mean, a fundamental, independent King James church. I believe this is a picture of that here in Ezekiel 33. And here's what he said. Also thou son of man, God speaking here to the prophet now, to Ezekiel, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Here's people, they want to go hear the preaching. Let's go to preaching. Amen. Let's go up to the preaching place. Amen. Let's go up to the church house and hear the preaching. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. And they hear thy words. Yeah, they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Oh yeah, they hear the words, God's words, the word preached. They hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness.
Yeah.
And then he said in verse 32, and this amuses me every time I read it, and lo, thou art unto them as one that hath a pleasant voice. Oh, I love to hear him. I love the way he shapes his words. I love the way he speaks. I love his illustrations. Oh, I just loved old brother so-and-so, or, brother whoever, whatever. Amen. I love to hear him preach. You are to them as one that has a lovely voice and can play well on an instrument. Your voice is you can just modulate it, and you can just speak in such a way to, whatever. They love that. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. What I'm saying is, what are you doing? Not what are they doing. What are you doing about the preaching?
Amen.
Amen. What are you doing? See. I realize that whenever the preaching is when the preaching is given, many times, people sit there and think, man, I wish old so-and-so was here. He needs this. Huh? Boy, I wish she had come. This would really do her some good. Huh? Well, let me tell you something. This will do you some good.
Amen.
If you'll take it to heart. If you'll do something about it. What are you doing about the preaching? Amen. I realize it's pretty personal. You say you're making this personal. I'm trying to. Amen. Amen. I don't even want to misunderstand who I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to us here at Oak Knoll. Amen. You say we're a good church. Yeah, you are. I think you're a great church. But I'll tell you, there's a whole lot more that could be done and ought to be done and should be done. God knows, brother. I mean, what Brother Bill preached this morning. Amen. That there's a whole lot more that could be saved.
Yeah, that's right.
If we would do something. If we would do something, if you would do something, if you as an individual would do something about the preaching. Amen? Man, you've heard and you've heard and you've heard and you've heard, but what are you doing about the preaching? Every church has someone like this, whether they say it like this or not, but every church has people like this who will say to the preacher, as they're leaving, I really appreciate the message. I aim to start doing whatever it is that, you know, he preached about. Amen? And then, you know, a week or two or three later, he comes out or she comes out and says, I really appreciate that message on whatever. I aim to start doing that. And you keep watching their lives, and you know, one day he comes out and he starts up and you say, hey man, pull the trigger. Amen? You've been aiming and aiming. How about just pull the trigger?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, do it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The problem is a lot of folks in our churches are still aiming to do better. They're aiming to start whatever it is they need to start or stop whatever they need to stop, but they just keep aiming. And I'm saying, brother, we need to pull the trigger this morning.
Amen.
You've heard a week of preaching. Amen? And you've heard a week of good preaching. Mine's been pretty good even. Amen? The rest has been real good, but mine's been pretty good. But you see, it doesn't matter how good it's been. You may say, that's the greatest message I ever heard. It's only great if you do something about it. Amen? It's not great at all. I mean, I don't care how beautiful it's put together. I mean, Brent, we've heard some this week that, I mean, they were just, I mean, letter perfect. I mean, in the right way, I'm not making light of them. I mean, beautiful. I mean, scriptural, right. But brother, they don't amount to that much if we don't do something about it. What are you doing about the preaching? What are you going to do about the preaching? Amen? Let me say this morning, number one, hearing without doing is first of all disheartening to the preacher and deceiving to the hearer. Do you have any idea what it does to the preacher when you hear but don't do? And week after week and month after month and year after year, you hear and hear and hear and hear and sit there and smile and say, amen, amen, praise the Lord, or whatever, however you do it, amen. And you come and you shake the preacher's hand, I enjoy that, I appreciate that, whatever you say it, you know, and it goes by, you know, years go by. Do you have any idea what that does to that preacher? You see a message. I mean, whether you realize it or not, these messages aren't something we just get in the morning, you know, and look, flip through a sermon outline book and grab something out and come here and just say it. Actually, a message, a real message for a man of God is something that really is delivered from his very soul. I mean, it's almost like giving a birth to a child. Amen? I mean, there's travail. There's prayerful travail over that message. I mean, to pray, I don't get up light. You may say, well, he preaches all the time. He's traveled all the country. He just grabs him out a little sugar stick and, hey, listen, man, you don't have any idea how I preach. I'm telling you, I travail and I pray over what I'm going to preach. Amen. And I don't get up and speak lightly and just, I mean, to entertain or to whatever, man. I get up and preach and deliver my soul. I mean, really, deliver the soul of God, the message of God, amen. And brother, for you to hear it and do nothing about it, I'm telling you, it is disheartening to the preacher.
Amen.
No wonder, brother. I tell you, someone say, I'm shocked at how many preachers leave in the ministry. I'm shocked that all of them don't leave.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm shocked they don't all quit. Amen. Can you imagine what it's like, brother, to go on year after year preaching to a people and see so many of them that do nothing at all about the preaching? That don't respond to the Word of God? And I mean, I'm talking about he preaches to them. He prayerfully, God puts on his heart, and you know, the message God tailor makes for that congregation, for that people, for those individuals. God didn't just throw out something and hope maybe it hits someone. God has a truth there for people in that congregation. And I'm saying that to hear without doing is disheartening to the preacher. But hey, maybe even worse than that is deceiving to the hearer.
That's right.
It deceives the hearer. He gets the idea because he's heard a lot of good preaching that he's been helped.
Yeah.
Man, I have heard such good preaching. It must have helped me some. It may not have helped you at all.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. It may not have helped you. In fact, some of you it hasn't helped.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. It hasn't helped. Some of you, it hasn't helped at all. James says there in the first chapter of James, chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, he said, deceiving your own self. You see, you deceive yourself when you hear but don't do. I mean, especially if you're hearing good preaching. You think, I've been helped. That was a mighty message. Tremendous a message on whatever. But if all you've done is heard it, and even heard it you know, smiling and shaking your head. You're not helped. He says there, as it continues, he said, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Amen. I mean, the preaching of the word of God is a means that God uses to show you yourself in a glass.
Amen.
Said, you see yourself there, friend? That's what you look like to God.
Amen.
Oh, you said, don't look too good. Amen?
Amen.
You sure don't look too good. Amen?
Amen.
But you know, if you look in a glass and then walk away from that glass, amen, the glass may show you that you have dirt on your face. You got a smudge somewhere. Amen? Your hair is not going, whatever. You look at yourself in the glass. Amen? What are you supposed to do? You need to correct yourself, what you see in the glass. Amen? But he beholds himself in the glass and he goes his way and straightway forgets what he saw in the glass. And he's deceived. Hey, is anything wrong with your face? Oh no, I'm fine. Well, what's that black, you know, smudge on you? Oh, I don't have a black smudge on me. You must be mistaken. Huh? I'm saying God's word, when it's preached, and we don't practice the preaching, we don't respond to the preaching, we discourage the preacher, and we deceive ourselves. And how sad. Some of you sitting here, you've heard the best preaching, I guess, in your life. Some of you listen on K-Dry, and you listen to other Christian stations, and you know, you get all that, you know, you can get of various preaching. And that's not bad necessarily. But it's bad if you're just listening to it and thinking you're being helped by hearing it. You know what it's like? It'd be like you being hungry and going into a restaurant. Can you see you go into a restaurant, you know, and they give you a menu and you sit down, you know, at the table and you get the menu and you open it up and you start looking at the pictures. You say, boy, ooh, that looks good. Look at that. Well, I bet that'd be good. Ooh, now that really looks good. Ooh, chicken fried steak. Wow, that looks good. My, let's see. And you sit there and you look at the menu, look at the pictures. You smell the aromas coming from the kitchen. Oh, it smells good. You look at the people eating around you. And then you close up the menu and you walk out of the restaurant. Hey, man, something's missing here. Amen. Something is missing. What's missing? You didn't eat the meal. Amen. You looked. You smelled. Amen. You may have even ordered, but you didn't eat. Amen. You have deceived yourself. You may go away and say, well, how was that meal? Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I just feel real good in here. Well, you may feel good, but you got something missing up here.
Yeah.
Amen. Because, you know, you went in and you looked and you smelled, but you didn't eat. I'm saying really that, you know, whether this may be crude, this may be, you know, I hope you get, you know, what I'm trying to illustrate. I'm saying that preaching is not just put out before you for you to look at and smell the aromas and then go your way. It's put out for you to eat. Amen. For you. Amen. For you, not for them, for you. Well, it's hard to personalize, even when you get up and look somebody in the eyeball, amen? I mean, still someone, you can go look some people in the eyeball, and they're still thinking, boy, he ought to be here. I wish he was here hearing this. Huh? Boy, that old boy, he needs this. Wouldn't it be good if we'd say, you know, I need this? I here's what I'm saying is, what are you doing, and what are you going to do about the preaching that you've heard this week? Wouldn't it be a shame for these men to travel from all these miles from all parts of Mexico, for us to come here from Lakey, Texas, and spend a week here and eat all this food and consume all this electricity and what have you and have no one helped. Wouldn't that be tragic? In Hebrews 11, the Bible says, Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark. I mean, he was moved. Amen. I mean, God's message moved him. Amen. Stirred him up.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, it didn't just tickle his ears. It moved him. Amen.
Amen.
He got up off his seat to do nothing. Amen. And got him a hammer and some boards and started building an ark.
Yes.
Amen. Well, God wants you to get up off of your seat to do nothing and start doing something too.
Amen.
Amen. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Some of you need to save your house. Amen. Some of the preaching this week, if you'd practice it, would save your house. And maybe save someone else's house too. Now I say house, I'm talking about people of the household. Amen.
Amen.
The second thing I want to say this morning is, is that hearing becomes profitable only when we practice the preaching. Amen. That's when it really becomes profitable. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, God says in His Word, "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Didn't profit. Man, those words just go out in the air. Amen? They come out and they beat on our eardrums. You know, and we say, we walk outside. What are you doing? I'm just getting that message out of my ear. Huh? You need to let it go in there and down into your heart and into your life. And you need to practice the preaching. Amen? My, my, my. Only when we begin to follow what God's Word says. The message is not preached just to entertain us. It's not preached just to, even to rebuke us so that we can feel bad, go away feeling bad. It's to change us. Amen? It's to change our lives. It's to make a difference in us. Amen? Man, what a blessing. Brother Ken gave a saying the other day. We were visiting together, he and I and our wives, and he said, I was taking some medication for my diabetes, and he said, I was like a zombie. I was drugged. But he said, one day, he said, I went to the doctor, and he said, all right, you can quit the certain medication and try something else. And he said, I woke up. Man, I woke up. Well, some of you are drugged. Amen. You are drugged by just hearing but not doing, and right. You've been drugged for years sitting here in these pews. Yeah. Amen. Now you can wake up, is what I'm saying. Like Brother Kincaid woke up physically and feels alive again. Amen. God wants some of you to wake up spiritually. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wake up. Amen. Amen. And begin to practice. Hey, folks, there's nothing mysterious or miraculous or whatever. Brother, it's just like this. The word preached, and I take it to heart, and I begin to do what the Word of God says.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm changed. Amen. I'm a different person. My life changes. Amen. It isn't some kind of hocus pocus where, you know, somewhere in the night, Brother God overshadows you and boom, you're what you ought to be. Some of you have been waiting that for a long time. Well, you'll still be waiting another 50 years if that's what you're waiting for God somehow to just drop on you one night and just change you. I tell you why you get changed. You change by getting up and doing what God's Word says to do.
That's right.
I know that don't sound real exciting, but that's the way it works.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We've been to KOA this week, parked over there and staying there this week. And the other morning we need to do the washing and we need to get started early because we need to get over here. So I said, let me take down the washer, put it in. So Doris got all the washing, get it, put it in the pillowcase. I went down there and put it in the washer. Now I could have stood there and looked at that washer forever and think, why don't it do something? It had a slot there for four quarters for it to work. I sat there and just looked at it like, come on, washer, wash them clothes. I sure want it to wash them clothes. Amen. I really and truly would like for it to wash it. Hey, I could stand there and wish for it forever, brother, until I put some quarters in there and push that plunger in, brother. It's just going to sit there and look at me. Amen. And it's going to be the same with your life, brother, until you put into practice. Amen.
That's right.
Until you put into practice the preaching, it's not going to profit you.
That's right.
Somebody said, I wish I was a better Christian. You can be. Listen, you're as good a Christian as you are, as you want to be and as you're willing to be. You're as close to God. You are as close to God as you want to be. As you're willing to be. So, Brother Joe, I know what it is. I just can't seem to get close to God. Hey, I know what it is. It's you. You're not practicing the preaching. You're not following what God's Word says. Amen? Now, let me say in the third place, what are some of the messages that we've heard this week? Amen? What are some of the messages we've heard this week that we ought to do something about? Well, one of the messages we've heard is, in fact, we've heard several messages that have dealt with this in one way or another, are messages about prayer. Let me ask you this. Now, I don't have any way to do it, but just to be personal about it, what have you done or what are you going to do about your prayer life? Are you going to make any change? Is there going to be a difference? Are we all going to go back to our fields of service and you're left here and you are still the same person involved in the same prayerless life that you were before? Or maybe a little prayer stuck in here and there? Or has God really touched your heart Has God really spoken to you about the matter of becoming more of a prayer than you've ever been before?
Amen.
To really hold these missionaries, not only these, but other missionaries, up in prayer, to hold them up and to ask God Almighty, amen, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He might thrust forth these laborers, that He might empower them and send them into His harvest.
Amen.
Are we going to do something about it? I mean, are you going to do something about it? I mean, if your prayer life is already what it ought to be, then that's fine. I'm not talking to you. But if your prayer life has not been what it ought to be, then somehow there needs to be a decision made in your heart. And I mean a concrete, I'm going to, I mean, it can't be in general. It can't be some kind of, you know, well, I'm a, you know, people come, you know, come down sometimes to the front and they say, well, what are you coming for? Well, I need to do better. That ain't good enough. I don't want to do better by foot. What do you need to do better? Amen.
Amen.
A preacher friend of mine tells me about a lady who came forward one night in his church and she said, you know, he preached about sin. She said, I don't know why I'm coming, Brother Jack. You know, you preach about sin and I don't know what it could be in my life. I don't know of anything in my life that could be wrong, but I just felt like I ought to come. And so I don't know what to do. What should I do? And Brother Jack said, well, just guess. He said, you know, she guessed it the first time. Oh yeah, you know, amen, you know, amen. I'm saying we need to be specific, amen?
Amen.
It's easy to be, you know, in general, oh, well, I know I need to do better. No, where do you need to do better? What do you need to do better? What have you not been doing better? And then I don't mean you have to tell anybody here, you need to tell God. And between you and Him, you need to make a decision about the matter of prayer. Am I going to pray? Am I going to set aside a certain time each day? Or am I going to set aside, you know, a certain period of time each day? Am I going to work up a prayer list whereby I'm going to, you know, at this matter, I don't know about you, but I can't remember all the things I need to pray for. And so you need to have a specific plan. Amen. A plan about prayer. Instead of just in general, well, I know I need to do something else or something different about prayer. What do you need to do? You need to set aside some time each day and to pray. Amen. We've heard messages this week. We've heard messages this week, not only on prayer, but on giving. I preached a lot on giving this week. Amen?
Amen.
And if I stayed longer, I'd preach more on giving. Amen? But what are you going to do about your giving? Amen? Are you going to continue to give in the same manner and the same amount that you've been giving? Or has God really spoken to your heart and convicted you that you need to do more in the matter of giving? If so, then you need to specifically say to God, God, I'm going to do thus and so. Amen? Don't just in a kind of a general way think, well, I know that I need to do something, you know, different about giving. What do you need to do? Amen? You know, some of you, look at some of you this morning while I preach, it reminds me of the fellow, you know, he came and told his preacher, he said, listen, preacher, you need to preach on stealing. Why? He said, well, I tell you, somebody been stealing my chickens. You need to preach on stealing. So he got up and he preached a message on stealing. And after the service, that fellow came up and preached, said, how'd I do? He said, well, it wasn't good enough. He said, well, why? I preached on stealing. He said, you need to say, Deacon Jones need to stop stealing Deacon Brown's chickens. You need to specify. Amen. The only problem about specifying is it gets a little tough when you specify. Amen. Brother, when the prophet of God, Nathan, came to David, he said, thou art the man. Today, we just kind of wave around and say, somebody here maybe needs some help. But he said, thou art the man. Amen. Brother, until you feel that the message is for you, that God is talking to you, until you do something about it, I mean, then you know, you're just going to warm up a bench. And I'm saying, what are you going to do about the message about giving? You say, can the church use more? Yes, sir, it can. Amen.
Amen.
The church can use more funds for the work of reaching further out. Praise the Lord, brother, for the privilege of giving. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that God's helped me to learn something about giving. And I don't just preach it, I practice it, amen. I know how to give, I like to give. I enjoy giving, thank God, amen. What are you going to do about the preaching though? About prayer and about giving? What are you going to do about the preaching this week about surrendering your life? I mean, giving it all up. I mean, all of it. Amen. You know, a lot of people remind me in their walk with God, they remind me of the guy that bought the dog that's supposed to be a short-tailed dog. You know, they're not born short-tailed. You have to cut that tail off when they're first born, you know, because that's the way they're supposed to be. And he bought a dog like that, and he got thinking about cutting that dog's tail off. He just could not bring himself just to cut that dog's tail off all at one time. So he decided he'd just cut off a little bit each week. to make it easier on the dog. And so each week he'd cut off about an inch. He just felt so sorry for that dog to just chop it all off one time. And some of you are like that with God. You know, you know, just a little bit of time you give yourself to God, you know. Hey, listen, why don't you just realize today that God wants you just to make the break and say, God, I want to give myself to you. Amen. Just one full commitment, dear God. I want to make myself available, God. I mean totally available. Amen. And God, I want you to take me. I'm willing to go to the mission field. Anywhere, any mission field, I'm willing to go to the mission field. I'm willing to stay in San Antonio. I'm willing to move somewhere else. Dear God, here am I. God, show me what you'd have me to do. I surrender completely to you. God, here am I. Send me. Now, that's been preached over and over again. What are you going to do about that? Huh? What are you going to do about it? If you've not surrendered your life like that, what are you going to do about it? I'm saying, what are we doing about the preaching? Amen? We can brag on how good the preaching is, and it is good, and we can boast about how our church preaches the Word, and it does. But brother, I'll tell you what, I'd like to brag and say this church practices the Word.
Amen?
Amen? Someone said to a brother one day, how many of your church members are willing? He said, oh, they're all willing. You mean they're all willing workers? Yeah, they're all willing. He said about 10% willing to do the work, about 90% willing to let them do the work. They're all willing. Amen? Well, that's just about it, really, in most churches. Here it may be a little different division, maybe 25 and 75, I don't know, maybe 50 and 50, but I'll tell you, too many folks here are willing to let others do the work. Amen? When we need to be willing, oh God, here am I, send me. He may send you right here to this church, right back here. Amen? Right back to doing what you're doing here, but enlarging that. Amen? And then last of all, I could mention many things, but last of all, let me just say this. What are you doing about the preaching about repentance and personal salvation? What have you done? Listen, my friend, you can come and hear messages about the love of God and God's salvation, and you can learn all about the doctrine of grace, and you can know all the ins and outs in your head about grace. But just listen, some of you need to practice what God's Word says. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Amen? I mean, brother, it's not enough to come here and say, well, we got a wonderful church and we have baptism real regular and folks are being saved real regular. That's good. But how about you? Are you saved? Have you repented from your sins? I say, have you repented from your sins? You personally. I'll tell you something. God doesn't have any grandchildren. You boys and girls, God doesn't have any grandchildren. You say, well, I tell you, I was born in a Christian home. That don't make you a Christian. Amen? You know, you might have been born in a garage. You wouldn't be a car. Amen?
Yeah.
You're born in a Christian home. Doesn't make you a Christian. Amen?
Yeah.
You've got to yourself repent from your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen?
Yeah.
Has there been a time, has there been a place that you can go to in your heart and mind and say, I remember that time. I remember the place where I repented from my sins and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I know that I know that I know that I'm saved.
Amen.
If not, what are you going to do about the preaching about repentance and salvation? You need to do something about it. If not, you'll deceive yourself. You'll come and hear all the good sound doctrine for all these years, and you see people saved and walk the aisles and get baptized, and you'll die without hope, and you'll go to hell that Bill preached about. And it'll grieve the heart of God. It'd be terrible to go to hell, brother, with a Bible in one hand, amen, and a baptism certificate in the other hand. It'd be terrible to go to hell like that. What are you doing about the preaching? And what are you going to do about the preaching? I think this morning's time to do something. We need to do something, amen? I mean, what's that slogan? I mean, whose it is, but I tell you, it's right to say just do it. Amen? As God said to you something you need to do this week, as God convicted you, maybe for weeks, maybe for years, God's been trying to speak to you, and you've thought about this, and you've heard the preaching about it, but you've never really, crossed over that line and said, I'm going to do it. Amen? I'm going to obey God. Then this would be a good morning to do it. What a way to close out this meeting. With some folks that have been sitting on the sideline watching and looking. Amen? to say, I'm gonna get in. Amen. I need to get in. So many people, brother, wade around the shallow waters in God's work, about ankle deep, you know, all their life, about ankle deep Christians, you know. Listen, God wants you to wade on out there to where it gets up to your knees.
Amen.
And gets up to your waist. Amen. And just keep going until it gets up to your chest. And then go out to, brother, until it's up to your neck. And then, brother, just keep going until you can swim in the waters. Amen. God's call for you, brothers, not to be a little shallow water Christian. Amen. He told his disciples, launch out of the deep. Go out in the deep.
Amen.
Amen. In the shallows, all you got some minnows and crawdads and whatever. Amen. Out of the deep, brother. That's where they're at. Launch out in the deep. That's where you make decisions for God that means something.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Let's stand together, please, this morning. Everyone standing. What are you going to do about the preaching? This is time to do it right now. I invite you to come to this, in this invitation time. Up here to the front, these chairs are for a mourner's bench, whatever you want to call them, a place to pray, come talk to God, or kneel there where you're at if you want to. But I invite you to come this morning. Do something about the preaching.
Amen.
Amen. What are we going to sing, preacher?
Number
93. Number 93. For our closing hymn this morning. Number 93. Come on. Do something about the preaching. Do something about the preaching. Young people, I wonder this week, I've watched at the invitation time, I see practically no one, if anyone, coming at the altar. God speaks to young people as well. This invitation is for you as well as anyone else. This isn't an adult invitation. This is for boys and girls and young people, teenagers, amen? This is for church members and non-church members. This is for everyone. Has God spoken to you this week? Have you made a decision, or is there a decision you need to make and settle and nail down? Then you do it this morning.
Amen.
While we sing this next stanza, you come right now. Step out and come.